there's no way a critic can keep up with his level of talent. Right? There's no way the average person could even pretend, or they can pretend, but there's no way they could ever meet his expectations. So they pretend to, right? Or they put on a facade to, you know, or they're just very indifferent to it all because they know that it's just, it's at a level that they can't even comprehend. So that is, he's created all those scenarios in the room are a result of his own actions, but he's blaming them for it too. So it's very conceited in that regard, I would say.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of D54. I'm Amit and I'm joined by Mr. Dennis.
Good to be here. It's feels like it's been a while since I've been in the seat, but I'm looking forward to it.
Don't know if you're the master chef or the sous chef or which order we go in, but we're talking about the menu, man. Oh boy, the horror, thriller, comedy, I guess, satire. It was something. This was something, man.
Could I just premise this with the fact that I am not a culinary expert, nor do I pretend to be. Though I am a little bit guilty of not paying as much attention in a chef, but I can tell you now, after watching this movie, I'm going to be a little bit more mindful of what I eat when I'm in a restaurant.
Man, as long as you don't serve me any breadless bread. This movie had a bit of everything, man. But I guess overall, man, before we get into this movie, I want to talk a little bit about, because this movie had somewhat of an impact on me, and I think it did just because of all the themes it tries to pack into the movie. And that's sort of seen throughout from the start. You can tell very early on that this movie is obviously aiming pretty high in terms of what it's trying to sort of deliver in terms of its overall messages. Mm. You know, and I think some of them really spoke to me more than others. Lead you on too much, man. What was sort of like for me personally, the thing that got me thinking about was the stuff about sort of the vanity and the fakeness. Mm. You know, before speaking of that too much, was that something that you resonated with, or was that something that you saw?
Yeah, I would say that whole pretentiousness surrounding it, you know, it's probably the biggest theme for me in the movie because. And this is a can of worms I'm going to try not to open, right, because we can talk about it perhaps a little bit in depth. I don't want to sort of go blah and just like put everything out there straight away. Mm. But the there was a delicateness to the level of pretentiousness portrayed in this movie, not just with the actor's portrayal of pretentiousness, but the pretentiousness of the movie itself when it conveyed the themes of pretentiousness. It didn't go unnoticeable, you know, when I was watching it. And there was a dualistic kind of thing in my mind of like, this movie's totally self-aware of its level of pretension and what it's trying to get across, which in essence made it very predictable as a movie once you've tapped into that. But then I couldn't help but think that the movie context itself was just was an irrelevant context to what they were actually trying to say. And I think you and I, we kind of alluded to this, you know, pre-chat a little bit, although we're sort of holding it back a bit. The context of the menu and all that kind of stuff is wholly interchangeable with so many different things that's going on right now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know, when you're paying attention to such things, it's very evident very quickly what that movie is talking about. And this is not me being pretentious saying, oh, I know movie. Like, it's clear. Like, once you start to pay attention to other things, that there's more to this movie than just what we're seeing on screen. And it's very clever in that regard because it tells you what it is, yet it still delivers what it is. And somehow you're still shocked and surprised by what it is, but in another way, you're not, because it's not unfamiliar to you either in many ways. So it was definitely an interesting film to watch in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you use the word delicate, and that's interesting because, like, I think one of the reasons why this sort of movie excels in terms of what it's sort of trying to tell you, it is unrelenting sometimes in its sort of message, I feel. Like, from the start to finish, you sort of just have this whole pretentiousness about the whole movie. And it is, you know, it's an interesting choice that they made to go down this food, cuisine, culture, you know, high society. I think they call it haute culture. And they sort of go into fine dining restaurants and do all this stuff. But this takes it obviously to a whole different level by pushing it as far as it can, where it's almost over-exaggerated, which then makes it feel like a satire.
Yes.
You know? And I think they did that. They balance that quite well because it's all, you know, it's done to a whole bunch of different characters and they all have their own levels of sort of fakeness and vanity, which they're going through. We have the actor who's, you know, John Leguizamo, who,
he was probably playing himself, really, I think, because they didn't actually give him a name. He was probably just playing himself. You know?
He's called the actor. But basically a washed-up star who's has some interest in food and wants to make, like, a food documentary show or something like that. Then he expresses his fakeness through that. You have the big tech guys who basically are, you know, lying and cheating their way to get money. So, yeah, it tackles this, you know, in different ways. It sort of shows you pretentiousness, not just around the food and the menu, but around everything around it. So you're right, the whole movie surrounds itself in the pretentiousness. And then also, yeah, just the fact that it's even created like this is kind of pretentious in itself. Like, you're making a movie. Like, I walked away from this movie and I did think that, yeah, this was a good movie, but this could have probably been summarized in about 15 minutes. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It has that kind of feel to it. So I think there is a little bit of, I don't know if self-indulgence is the right word, but they really want to go into sort of this and make it, you know, we'll talk about the, you know, more cinematic part of it soon with the sort of narrative and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, what about the, so, you know, you and I are both artists in our own sort of way. Did you resonate with this chef and his pursuit of art, his pursuit for creating the best he can? Was that something that you could relate to? Obviously not to that same level, but...
Yeah, look, it's a difficult thing to answer because, you know, as you progress through your career and you pursue your skill set to a higher level, you start to get to a point where, you know, things just become in the way of your pursuit of perfection, and you seek to clear those obstacles. When you're in a room of people who have a higher level of than you from a career perspective, they were better paid, they've got executive or associate attached to their name, and they're supposed to be your bosses or your managers, but lack the level of skill set that you have, you look at them and you can only it takes a bit of effort of character to not go, well, how do you get there? Do you know what I mean? You can't, like, there's no skill there. But you know, it's a bit different, I guess, in our industry. We've got a broader skill set, like broader set of skills that we can apply and learn and grow. And it's the endeavor is big. Whereas something like being a chef, obviously, you know, I'm not going to underrate it at all. It's a very different craft, but in many ways, it's also the same. Like, it's very creative. Yeah. It's also very scientific. And the outcomes done correctly should be predictable in that regard, but it also takes a lot of intuition and a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge. And like anything, if you become obsessed with the perfection of your art over time, everything else starts to just become obstacles that you remove. And you can quickly lose sight of the reasons why you began in the first place. You know, you start off with a love of drawing, all of a sudden you're an executive and you've forgotten why you want to be creative in the first place, and you're just pushing buttons and moving people around and you're literally just playing chess. So I think with where he's at in his career, he's kind of tipped over that point where he's found his perfection but then has, like, stopped, looked around, and, you know, generally you realize you're very alone at the top once you're there, because there's not many people who stand side by side with you. But he hasn't realized that so much. He's kind of realized he's there, and then all of a sudden he's looking around at the people who are, he's like, well, I've done all this work. Can you not just appreciate how what you're eating and how everything I sacrificed to get that food on your plate? And he uses the term, you know, he's got to sit there and watch his food like literally turn to shit in people's stomach. And that's utterly soul destroying for him, you know. So, you know, there's enough motive when you become soul obsessed and then to turn around and realize that your life work is completely irrelevant because no one actually gives a shit but you, just because you're so far out of field from everybody else. Yeah. But that being said, when you're that level of skill set, it doesn't, he's self-perpetuating in that there's no way a critic can keep up with his level of talent, right? There's no way the average person could even pretend, or they can pretend, but there's no way they could ever meet his expectations. So they pretend to, right? Or they put on a facade to, you know, or they're just very indifferent to it all because they know that it's just, it's at a level that they can't even comprehend. So that he's created all those scenarios in the room are a result of his own actions, but he's blaming them for it too. So it's very conceited in that regard, I would say. That's the way I see him in as a character.
Yeah. No, I brought up some really good points, and I think an underlying theme, which I didn't even think about, is just the theme of loneliness that he goes through. Because the points you brought up are exactly right. He's at a place where he's excelled so far beyond, no one can even comprehend what is really the only thing that's important to him, you know. And this is why this movie is basically his swan song in a way, like it's the end.
Yes.
You know, and I think, you know, even at the end, we sort of get that kind of poetic ending with, you know, Anna Taylor-Joy's character, who tries to sort of get him out of it, but it's still not enough because of where he is and so far. Yep. So that's sort of, it was really interesting. And just to see that, you know, like it's not uncommon to see, you know, movies where the character's completely unhinged and gone to like levels where they're just not, they don't really operate in the normal bounds of reality anymore. And this movie does that pretty well. Like this guy is so far off everything that, he's trying, I guess he's even just trying to find something which he just can't accept through extreme actions at this point. This is like, you know, if there was a prequel to this, it'd probably be the build up of him. We would see the deterioration of him from sort of what he was until he's got to the point. And that wouldn't have been as bad as where he is now. Mm. It kind of is a cautionary tale, you know, to sort of, no matter what you do, sort of stay balanced because at the end of the day,
grounded. Like,
yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, your art is going to get to a point where the reality is, you're going to get to a point where no one can comprehend, no matter who they are.
That's right. You're godlike. You're godlike. Yep. The level of devotion and loyalty that his cooks have for him.
Yeah.
To the point, you know, where they're willing to stay with him right until the end. Like that's a clear indication that they see him as some like deity Messiah of the kitchen, right? Yeah, Messiah of the kitchen, right? He's like a whole nother level. But one thing I did like with this was it wasn't like a Squid Games. It wasn't like a Saw, some like weird abstract character with a mask or some face paint or some shit going on. Like he was right there and he was no bones about what his intentions were. Like he was very clear from the beginning that the concept was not going to be to the audience's expectations or even liking. He didn't care so much about that. He was trying to hit home the points that he felt mattered before, like the big climax at the end. You know what I mean? And everything layered up and everything built upon itself in that way. And there was some shock value in that. Like there was definitely some things that were there that was like, oh, yeah. But there was nothing unpredictable either. But I would say that the ladder to the top can get very, very lonely. And there's the saying of if you can live alone, you're either insane or a god. And I think that's the underlying premise of this. Like he's either gone, fucking he's snapped, or he's reached like deity level where he no longer sees humans as or life as anything that is worth preserving above his own art form.
I think
that's where he's at. Yeah.
That's very true. Like, he's willing to sacrifice and kill basically everybody, including the point that you mentioned about when you get to certain levels and you're working with people who are not, you know, you're working, he's owned by the, I forgot the guy's name, but the investors who own the island or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's technically his boss, but then, you know, he puts him as an angel and he just basically hangs him, or no, drowns him in front of everybody. So he's got to that point where, you know, he's, it's cooking up inside him and he's just basically said, I can't take this anymore. And look, not that I can never admit that I've wanted to drown anybody who's above me, but I can definitely understand what the movie was striving to do.
In Australia, we have a term for it. It's called going postal, right? And that's where you're just done and you just walk into your office and start like opening fire. And that's pretty much what he's done. He's just like, you know what? Fuck it all. And everyone, I'm going to go down and everyone's going to go down with me. And at its root core, that's really what it's all about. It's like, I'm done. I'm out of here and I'm going to take a few people with me just to prove a point. And I can say more on that, but I'll hold off for the moment.
So we've talked about the chef quite a bit, man. Why don't just touch on a few of the other characters? Because I think the reason why this movie works to a certain level is because it's kind of dynamic. I think if the story just focused on the chef himself, I think it'd be hard to sort of follow that story along because there's not so much there to it. We've pretty much touched on everything that's sort of there, you know. Yeah. But the thing I did like about this movie is the sort of portrayals of some of the other characters around, the chef, Chef Julian. So, man, we got the, as I said, John Leguizamo, the actor and movie star. We have, Anna Taylor-Joy, who's basically the straight-laced unknown character. And then the other one that really interested me was Tyler, played by Nicholas Holt, a.k.a. Beast from X-Men.
Yes.
That's where I've recognized him from. But, yeah, man, were there any characters here that really, like, that you were enjoying watching or you sort of understood their path or their storylines? Like, there's a few others as well, but which ones did you sort of enjoy outside of the chef?
Yeah, look, I think the character I actually enjoyed the least was Margot, Anna Taylor-Joy's character. And I think at some point that I realized that was also by design, because, you know, I realized something was amiss when she wasn't on the guest list and she wasn't the person they were expecting to have turn up. So from there, I realized that, something's not quite according to plan. Because I think that they did a very good job of making you uncomfortable with how much, or not uncomfortable, but aware of how much she stuck out from the rest, you know. And obviously Chef responded to that. Everyone was aware, like became aware of that, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that led to the outcome of the whole movie. But I'm just going to put this out here, but that room encapsulates all the stereotypical things that are wrong with Hollywood right now.
Yep.
All right. You've got the indifferent elites who don't give a fuck. They've turned up to every movie but pay zero attention to what's going on around them. Mm-hmm. You've got the arrogant young tech execs that are just in. They think they've got the power. They think they've got the control. They really don't have a damn thing. You've got the crusty old critic and the one who enables that self-belief that they have the power to critique when really they don't have shit either. You've got the washed out actor and the support that's completely fucking over it and has been pilfering money from him, stuff like that. Like, this is Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
Right? And then I see the chef as directors like Martin Scorsese and things and those at that level, who are just being done with the Marvel, the Disney machine, the Hollywood machine. They're like, you guys have lost touch with the art. You are willing to eat shit and give it 5 stars because you get paid to do that. You know what I mean? And so you could absolutely swap out that chef with any of the old school directors, mm-hmm. right, who love to make real movies, and everyone else in that room are just all the other ones eating the current Hollywood crap. And then I identify with the Margot character because I'm like, you know, I'm not buying into any of that kind of shit. I like the stuff. You know what I mean? So out of all of them, I don't necessarily identify with her character, but I identify better with the fact that she just is not there to play the game or go down that path or just eat what she's fucking served for the sake of having it put in front of her. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Tyler is absolutely the current audience that will just pretend that they know, will just suck up everything that's given to them, will seek approval and acceptance in the face of that, and when put under the pump, will crumble and actually to be proven to be completely hollow, shallow depth of character, and in the end will have to go and admit that they deserve nothing else but then to just disappear from this world. So that's the way I see the audience, right? To me, they're just analogous of Hollywood right now, but not just Hollywood. They're analogous of a lot of different industries too. Like I see this even on a micro level, you know, within corporations, at a micro level within family units. Like it's all... Everyone has to play a part, and then there's one or two that's like, you know what, I'm out of here. Sorry for the swearing, but you know So I'm not sure if you agree or disagree with that, but that's the way I saw the audience.
That's a fantastic analogy to sort of put it into some context as to sort of what's going on, because it is very relevant. Like I just want to see a remake with Martin Scorsese playing the role of Ralph Fiennes. To basically see how that goes, because you're exactly right, and the movie did a good job of just making that almost like not your exact analogy, but the characters painstakingly obvious as to what their motives and who said they sort of were. There wasn't much mystery behind them, even with the mystery behind sort of Margot's character. I think she's more for probably. I think she's to drive the plot more than anything. I think like she has this character of her own. We get to know a way little about her, or you know what she sort of represents in that room. I guess what she represents is an outsider.
Yes,
I guess, which is what sort of, again, that analogy, you know, how sort of if you took someone from outside of Hollywood and put them there, that's what it would be like for them to just be in this machine where you have everything running around you and you can just see the cogs and just being like, all right, well, you're the crazed fan that will just eat anything. And you're the people that have so much money that you watch everything and don't even value the art anymore.
That's right.
That's what sort of the crusty old couple sort of are. You have the big techs that are sort of doing it more for their own ego, and their purpose is just to tell other people that they've been there.
Yes.
So it paints that picture really well, and I really enjoyed that part of it. Yeah, it was I mean, I said satire at the start because it did, like, there were parts of this where I had to suspend, you know, my sort of my belief. But a lot of this movie, to be honest, right up till the end, I was even like, wait, a lot of this isn't really making sense. Like, why would you not try and at least, you know, try and get yourself out of this kind of situation? Like,
well he calls it out. He calls it out at the end because he's like,
yes, he does.
You have to ask yourselves, why have none of you tried to really fight back?
Correct.
And, that's a key thing because I don't want to get too... Yeah, I guess what's the word I'm looking for here? Political, maybe. But there has to be a point where they're either they lack the self-awareness, or they just lack the will to stand up to what they're being fed, even though they know it's fundamentally wrong. Right? You get served a plate without bread. What do they all do? They put up a bit of a whinge, but that they end up sit there and they start like picking it apart, or they'll just, oh yes, you know, but you've got to have the flavor of this. And she's like, this is stupid. Yeah, yeah. Where the fuck is the bread, right? Because when you see things as they are, it's clear there's no goddamn bread, and that's stupid. But everyone else tried to find an excuse as to why it was relevant. There's a concept, there's a story, there's got to be some meaning. This is his brilliance, his genius. And it's like, no, you're all just like, ooh, I got shit in your eyes because he's clearly making a fool of all of you except for her, who's like, this, what is this all about? You know what I mean? And I think that's when he realized that she was not, she wasn't like the others. You know what I mean?
No, I think the best example of that was when I think it was John Lugano. He was like tasting the you know, the dips or whatever. He's like, "Ooh, you can really taste the absence of bread or something like that." And I was like cracking up, like, you know, he's definitely putting it up. So yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah. But I think to that point with Margot's character, like, I think she is meant to kind of be, you know, again, if you take your analogy of the whole Hollywood thing. You know, the reason why the chef can't deal with this character is because it's unknown. You know, it's somebody that they don't know about. They don't know how to control it. It doesn't work in the machine.
That's right.
So that's why it's such a disruptor throughout the whole movie. And that's why, you know, the chef and the whole team just can't figure her out. But yeah, it was really, I thought it was really well done, that side of things. It kept me really engaged throughout the entire movie, which leads me to want to talk a little bit about sort of how this movie, you know, we talked about the themes, we talked about the characters, but like as a movie overall, you know, a thriller, was this something that, I know that there were some predictability parts which were a bit not so great, but overall, did you enjoy the sort of, you know, how this movie was presented, how sort of it was shot? Were you, was there a sense of mystery there?
I think there was as deliberate as, and I use the word delicate because I would term the type of cinematography for this movie delicate.
Yeah,
in the lingering shots, the soundtrack, like the effects that they would put into it, the quietude where they would just like let the restaurant, like the room, have its space to do its thing, and you'd see, you know, Elsa, the floor manager's part, she'd walk around and she'd be watching. And it's,
I love that.
I did love how they gave the restaurant the breathing room to dine. Does that make sense? Like it's, it wasn't like at the pace wasn't like bang, 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 bang. It was because you got to feel like you were a fly on the wall in this situation a little bit. You could watch these cat people, but you could easily rewind at 30 seconds and then watch these people and they're doing different things and they're all acting in different ways and behaving in the different little sub-dynamics. And I mean, they'd obviously zoom in, zoom in, zoom in, zoom in, and they'd have little interactions. But when they just take the time. And I think it was actually shot very beautifully in that regard. I really enjoyed the cinematography and the pacing of the movie. I agree with you that the movie could have been wrapped up in about 15 minutes. Like, I think that was, you know, perfectly possible, but the I think it tried to, and again, I'm not saying this as a culinary expert, but it tried to craft a level of delicateness, and it allowed you to savor the experiences of the, like, I'm sounding like a critic now, like a food critic. Oh, dude, that's like a delicate. It's got to savor it in your tongue and your palate. Ooh, you know. But it does. It tries to get you to have a taste of what's going on, and then it lets you savor that feeling for a while before it moves on to the next part of the menu. And each section of the menu had a different way that it was shot, a different way that it was constructed as a movie. Like, it was, they were clear chapters. And the way that they did things and the way that they directed things was slightly different each time. I could be full of shit here, but that's the way I looked at it. The premise changed, the goal of the menu changed, the interactions changed, the demeanor of chef and everyone else around him changed. Like, that's that one where they did the man's folly, right? Where they ran out and, I expected some people to die at that point, but they didn't. They just got all dragged back, and the dude, it was funny, he was hiding in the chicken pen, and they opened the door and handed him this little, like, chicken, this little egg dessert. You're the last one to be caught. It's wholly demeaning, right? Like, what was the purpose of any of that?
No.
Right? Other than to let the girls have some song to eat in peace, right? Like, I don't know. But yeah, I think I even though I wasn't like gagging over this movie, but I think it was, they did a good job of making sure each menu piece was slightly adjusted in accordance with the menu. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And saying that, like, I think the pacing of the movie works really well with that as well. So, you know, you sort of take your time to get into the movie and everything is kind of like wacky at the start almost. Like, you know, they're getting served, the breadless meal or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
The breads for common men. So you're not common men. And then, you know, you get the oysters at the start. It's all sort of slowly building into it until, you know, I think the big turning point was probably when the first, you know, the sous chef or one of the other chefs come around and they, you know, end themselves because they're not good enough or something like that.
That's right.
I think that's when it sort of turns like, okay, now what's going to happen? So I did like how they controlled the pace of the movie because it's definitely not a super long movie, an hour 40 minutes. I never felt this movie dragged. And I think that sense of suspense was always there.
Mm.
As to what's sort of going on, because like I kept watching it, being like, "Okay, is this like a cult or something like that? They're gonna, are they gonna eat the people? Is that the end of this show? Like, you know, I think there's time when you know there's like a room which they don't show. I think it might be the door to the chef's room, and I think their bodies behind there. You know, your mind sort of starts playing games with you. Like, what was
the hamburger?
Yep, I had the same.
Yeah,
yep. Did they just eat human meat then? And because they're so, you know, so in their minds, they can't even tell that's not chicken or beef or lamb. They'll probably just eat it.
Yeah, but that's right.
I really did enjoy sort of the pacing of this movie, and the mystery was definitely there. So yeah. I definitely agree with you how each sort of shot felt different. And, you know, I think they'd have like, even at the end, like when they're running away, they come back at the end, and that feels different to just two scenes before. So a lot of variety in sort of how this is sort of shot, kind of like a seven-course menu.
and in that way, I reckon it was clever, right? It was clever.
Yeah.
It's not a groundbreaking movie as far as I'm concerned. Like, I would say that... no, and I'm with you. I was expecting, like, to get to a level where it started off very subtle but then became, you know, they all of a sudden they were eating one of the people that were just dining with, you know, like, 30 minutes before, like that's a level I thought it was going to get to. The shock value of, like, you know, but there was nothing in this movie, I would say, even the shock value pieces, that I felt was unpredictable at all. Like, you can feel it coming. You knew something was going to happen. The premise when they walked in gave away something, you know. The tone of the trailer gave away that there was something a little bit odd here. The name the menu gives away that there's something. Okay, the menu, like, what? Okay, it's obviously not a standard menu because it's the menu. Uh-huh. Right. You kind of knew something was going to go down. And so when the climax hit,
It
was like, oh, okay, that's it, that's done now, it's cool. Okay, that's the last
part of my movie. But I'll ask you, what is the climax of this movie, actually? I'm trying to think of it now. I'm like, what was actually the point when they all come back after the being let out to run? Like, it's sort of one part that confused me at the end. I'm like, what was actually, where did it sort of, you know, really peak?
it peaked for me when, because he said you're just like them to Margot.
Yeah.
And the climax of the movie isn't the explosion, it isn't the fire, it isn't her escaping, it's it isn't even her asking for the burger. For me, the climax of the movie is the point where he makes the burger and he remembers what it meant to make something for somebody and actually, like, have the sense of joy that they're providing something simple that they like. You know, it's going to taste good, it's going to bring them happiness. And that was right back at his roots, because she got the idea from that when from his room when he saw that he started off as a
line cook,
like a line cook. Yeah, right. So to me, that was the climax of the movie, was his return to his roots, but then realizing that he'd already gone too far and had to finish his menu, right? I didn't see the way that he finished them all off as I didn't actually like that at all. Like, I thought it was appropriate. They were all looked completely fucking ridiculous, covered in chocolate and marshmallows. And it's the humiliation that I took joy in, moreover, than the actual ending of the movie. I thought, yes, there was nothing I would like more than to see, maybe not burn to death, but take some of these Hollywood toffs and just make them walk around with a hat, chocolate and a vest of marshmallows. So to me, that was it. That was like the bit where it was like, where he returns and he finds that joy. The question that's burning in my mind is, though, what was the burger made out of, and was it poisoned in the end? That's why, you know what I mean? Because she has this moment where she's like, oh, and did she do that because it tastes really damn good, or did she realize that she's actually gonna die anyway? Or is it actually the mince of a dead human body, and she's like, and then is resolved to just go through it anyway because she's already killed someone and she's got to live with that and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, is she just like resigned to go ahead? I don't know. Look, to be honest, I don't know. That's me stabbing in the dark a little bit, the third act of this movie. Maybe not the best analogy, but you get what I mean.
No, I get it. Like, I think that would, it's strange because that probably is the climax. That's probably the moment for me where he, realizes that, he's lost something and she sort of restores that back to him, but it doesn't bring him back to the person he was, which I think is appropriate for the movie's tone.
Yeah. I think he's too far gone, I think.
Yeah, he's too far gone to be saved, but at least for a moment he had that, that glimpse again, sort of, where he sort of lost himself. So I thought that was quite nice. From an emotional impact, I don't know if it really got me that much, because it was like it hit and then it sort of just went away. So I was, I don't know how you really address that or fix that, for instance. But there's something about it which left me kind of like, okay, I don't remember this movie for its final act or its climax. I think I remember it more for some of the things we talked about. Honestly, even some of the comedy that we talked about, a little bit sort of. More than I would than actual the climax or the narrative. And I think that's sort of what this movie's, I think its strength is around that, the social commentary it has. Yeah. And I think it does that quite well. But yeah, some parts in the narrative, in the narration is, if I have to criticize anywhere, it'd probably be that.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on it. I would say that the only thing that's really ultimately memorable for this movie, the only reason why I will put this movie back on, and the reason why I paid so much attention to that bit, is because I'm like, oh, I'm learning how to make a really good burger here. Like, so you slice up the onion like really thin, and you put it underneath. Like, that's cool. And is he making two burgers? No, he's stacking the burgers cheese on cheese. I'm like, oh, that's brilliant, right? So I was actually paying attention to how to make a good burger. And I probably got that's the most I got out of that movie, because I'll go home now. Like, I'll go and make a burger now, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to thinly slice my onion, like really thinly slice. I'm going to put it on, right? I'm going to sort of push my patties down, put my onion on, flip it over, put my cheese on, and then two slices of cheese obscurely angled, and then when that's cooked through, I'm going to stack them and put them on a burger. I tell you what, I'm going to make that burger. And I think from that movie, I learned how to make a better burger than I've ever made in my entire life. Right.
I should have added a documentary to the list of this, the theme of this movie, man. I didn't know this was an educational movie.
Well, that's the thing, right? I'm never going to relate to a oyster souffle with umeboshi and sea foam and all that kind of shit.
Algae.
I look at that and I'm like, there is no way that I'm ever going to be able to make that. None. All right. I'll probably just look like a vomitous mess on a plate, right? Like that's mm. what all I'm going to be able to produce if I try and do that stuff. But I can make a damn good burger, and I'm always looking for opportunities to improve my burger. And I got one out of that movie. Yeah. Like, because it was always, the onion was always a bit too much. So how do I really subtle that, like make that a bit more subtle? And and I like the way that he did that. And I will remember that now. And that's how I make my burgers now from here on in.
It's a good point. It's one of the only, honestly, it's one of the only grounded scenes in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like everything else is completely not relatable. It's you know, completely just fantasy at some point.
Way
yeah, like, you know, going off to an island and eating oysters and, you know, like rocks with seafood and stuff. Yep. It's not relatable. But that one scene when he does have that burger and he makes it, it's something that anybody, you know, most people will be able to relate to. Yep. In you some know, sense of the word, like either making it or eating it or the enjoyment you get
100%.
Out of that comfort food. Yeah.
100%.
So, yeah, and it's actually clever.
It comes clever back to if you pull away the veil of all the superfluous, pretentious bullshit, all people really want is just what they've always wanted, and that's just like the simple but done well. You know, and we say this a lot in our reviews.
Yep.
When we think about the movies that we really like, they're just simple stories done really well, you know, versus all this like just faff on top of everything. It distracts you from the fact that there's zero quality in anything that you're watching, because it's just like sensory overload. You don't have the ability to think. They literally remove your ability to critique because there's just so much in there, you know. And then so to think that anyone can sit down and critique a movie like Thor, Love and Thunder, like they're just fooling themselves, right? Because there's nothing to critique. There's nothing there. And this is the whole like bread, no bread thing. There's nothing there to critique. Like they're not giving them anything, but they think that they're getting something special.
Yeah.
So they take the vestibules of what they can get and try and find meaning in those little things. And it's all bullshit, right? It's all bullshit. Mm. It's all fake. It's all a farce. So the truth is people just want simplicity and they want it done really well, which is what that burger signifies for me. Like, and that's why I love it, because I'll now make better burgers for the rest of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
By watching that bit. Because that's what I cared about the most. It's the only thing that I could translate into real life for me.
Yeah.
And I can imagine the pitch movie. So the pitch for this movie, they're in the room. They're like, so what do you want to make a movie of? It's like, well, we actually just want to like teach people how to make better burgers, but we want to do it by like really making it like a standout point, and we want to build all this pretentiousness around it. So when it happens, everyone like zeroes in on it. We just want to improve burger quality across the world, right? Or homemade burger quality across the world. And some dude's like, yeah, sure, go for it, you know?
yeah. No, I don't think you're too far off. And if that was a pitch, that's pretty brilliant. Like, because we've already talked about the storyline is pretty thin, you know, what they do, but the execution is not too bad at all because of, you know, all the social commentary and everything they're trying to put around it, which, you know,
100%.
You know, it is very meta in that way too. But yeah, man, it was a pretty, I don't know, pretty interesting movie, man. It reminded, I didn't have so many sort of similar movies which this sort of reminded me of. There's only one which I want to get your opinion on.
Yeah.
And I've been holding back on saying this one. And it's only around one part. It's really just around the character of the chef. The movie Birdman with Michael Keaton.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've seen Birdman. That's awesome.
Yeah. So a little bit that the pursuit of perfection and what it takes to get, you know, what it takes to get there. I think the chef, and I can't remember the name of the character, but Michael Keaton's character, in that movie, he basically is, a stage actor whose final act on stage is to kill himself, because you can't, no matter how well you act, trying to pretend dead.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the same as actually dying.
So he's just known as the Birdman. Yeah,
the Birdman. Yeah, right. Okay, that's his whole sort of thing, and that kind of reminded me a bit of this chef. Mm. His pursuit of perfection is just like, it's something completely unreasonable. And, you know, the only way he's going to get it is by doing something like this.
Yeah.
Telling this grandest story of them all beyond what the food is about. You know, it's more about sort of what's around it. Do you have any movies that you had sort of reminded of?
Yeah, look, the only thing I could really, that was coming through to my mind was, you know, things like Squid Games and that kind of stuff it's a group of people trapped in a scenario. They can't really get out. Like The Mist, they don't know what to do. There's always one that's sort of this self-destructive type that is hell-bent on, you know, going down and taking everyone down with them. You know, Squid Games is sort of similar. It has a premise and people are profiting from it and all that kind of stuff. But it's just like this whole anticipation of like slowly being whittled down to one. Now, the thing that subverted my expectation there a little bit was I expected them to die one by one by one by one by one.
Mm.
And then in the end, there wasn't there's like maybe one or two left, right? That didn't really happen. They actually mostly survived all the way through and then were just like all killed off at the end, with the exception of Margot. It was like, because I've seen quite a bit of that kind of stuff in that kind of way. But, you know, when I did do a search of similar movies to The Menu, I realized I hadn't seen nearly anything that was closely what everyone else thinks it's the same. But in general, my interest in horror only extends when it's like super or preternaturally based. Like it's you know what I mean? Like when there's cosmic horror or something involved where like there's things that come from the outside inwards and they've fucked with humanity. When it's a human doing it, it's not something that I generally watch. Mm. Like I haven't seen Hostel, and I think I saw like the first 30 minutes of Saw and turned it off. Like I don't take a lot of joy in watching humans annihilate other humans for their own cause, you know. When I realized the premise of this movie, I was expecting a lot more than actually what came about. And I was quietly pleased, I guess, because I don't really, like I said, I don't really enjoy watching humans hurt other humans for the sake of their own, you know, agenda. If it's something that is outside the world or the realm of normality that I exist in, then my brain can separate itself from reality a little bit and kind of watch it in context. In that regard, it was good. And that's why I put it in the same bucket as things like Squid Games, because it's human versus human, not some supernatural force versus human.
Got it.
Yeah.
I guess there's one other movie. I don't know if there's anyone like very, very, one of my favorite movies of all time, Pig, with Nicolas Cage. There's a scene in that movie which basically captures this entire movie in about 10 minutes. It's almost the same thing. It's actually almost the same thing. It's a chef who's gone. It would be what Chef Julian is his name Julian? Yeah. What Chef Julian is in this movie, probably a couple of years back. So basically he's at the point where he's still striving to be a great chef. He's still striving to perfect his art. Yeah. But then a character like Nicolas Cage comes and he rescues him from that certain part of his life and reminds him at that point of what Margot did in this movie when it's not too late. So, but it encapsulates that in basically 10 minutes and it's a completely beautiful scene. It's very similar to this because this is, again, the same haute culture, fine dining culture. And
I have not seen that.
Reminded me.
Yeah.
But that's the only two things that really reminded me of. So a bit different from your probably traditional. If you look on your list, I don't think I saw anyone with those two on there. So maybe because they're not exactly the same kind of movies. But The Pig is not similar. It's just similar in that one scene. That's all.
but you rate Pig pretty highly, so it's definitely on my watch list. I would love to.
Have seen it before this movie all the time.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, man, I think that can take us to, this is going to be interesting, man. D-scale, where does this sort of fall on your rating scale, man? Because I think this is one of the more interesting ones. Definitely not a straight up.
Yeah.
For me, at least, it's not a straight up disposable or dope. But where does this sit for you?
I'd have to give it a sort of moderate defendable, right? Like it's something that if I was going to get someone to watch it, I'd have to really put a big case for. I don't necessarily think it's dynamite as a movie. Like it didn't blow me away. Sorry, bad pun there. And definitely not dope. Like it's definitely not dope, but it's not a disaster either. Like it, like I said, it's a pleasure to watch. Because of the cinematography of the way it's been shot. It's not fun to watch people off themselves and stuff like that, but I think it's definitely dependable. Like I would definitely put it forward for someone to have a watch. But it'd be mid scale defendable. Like it wouldn't be, it's not lower and it's not like close to dynamite, but it's the kind of movie you might, you know, if you want to put on something with a date and you think it's kind of like, oh yeah, you know, something that's going to be a bit thrilling, something's going to get a move a little bit closer, you know, yeah, it's something like that, but it's not too gross, right? It's not going to like, like the whole night off. Yeah, that's the kind of thing you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm almost in the same. I think I'm a bit lower. It's definitely not, it's not a disaster. It's probably the lowest level of defendable. Yeah. Probably like a 5 out of 10-ish. Cause I think one thing about this movie is I don't know how many times you can watch this movie and get that much enjoyment from it. And that's not necessarily a huge critique like that for all movies. But once you've sort of seen it, I think you can see it maybe 2 or 3 times. And then you might see some things that you didn't see the first time around. But overall, I think there's not enough wow factor or enough to sort of grab you with the plot to really get that. Like once you sort of understood the characters and what the story is trying to do and tell you, you're sort of done with it. Yeah. And again, it is kind of, it's well executed and well done and it looks really nice. It's a joy to watch, but overall, yeah, it's not a movie I'm running back to watch anytime soon. And in a way, sadly, it's probably even a bit forgettable in some ways.
I'd say so.
Things well.
Yep. I think the only scenario where I'd possibly put this movie on again is if, say, I was having a party and it was the end of the night, and 2/3 of the people had left, and the third that was still around were like so drunk, but kind of like really, oh, what do we do? And we just like, everyone winds down, finds a beanbag or a patch on the couch, and we chuck a movie on, and everyone's kind of like half there. There's some quiet chatter in the background. There's some low light, a couple of people bashing in the corner, and it's the movie. It's the movie you would put on, right? Like it's the movie no one's actually going to pay attention to, but everyone's going to be staring at the screen anyway, you know. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to get to the bit with the burger, and everyone's like, oh, "Does anyone want to go to Macca's? This burger's making me really hungry."
Yeah.
And they're going to go out, and they're going to find a kebab shop, or they're going to find a 24-hour Macca's, and they're going to get a dirty burger, and they're going to feel great and go home, wake up, and probably vomit everywhere.
Exactly right. Like
that's the scenario for this movie. All right, that's the only time I'd ever probably put this movie on ever.
Oh, well, at least you learned how to make a good burger, man. So I think,
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the best part of that movie for yourself.
Well, the alternative would be going out and actually buying dirty burgers. It would be me in a drunken state going, hey, I can make burgers. I can make those burgers. And try and make burgers for everyone and completely fail. That's my. But yeah, I think you're right, man. Like, defendable, absolutely. I mean, that's being generous. But disaster, I think it's not a disaster, and that's why it sort of sits in the middle.
Yeah, but definitely. It's not offensive. It's not like it's not poorly done. I think everyone put effort in to try to do something really good with this. But I think the overall, I think it was defendable from the start of the movie, just from the script itself.
Yeah,
there's not so much further you can go with this. Really,
I think. Actually, can I change my mind?
Go for it.
I'm just thinking here, based on what I said and based on that conversation, like I wouldn't necessarily call it a disaster because it's not a disaster of a movie. And I may tell someone to go and watch it because it's okay. But I'm just coming back to what you said there, man. Like the rewatchability of this is pretty low. So I'd actually downgrade that to a disposable because once you've seen it, you can move on from it and you're not going to miss too much in your life. You don't get anything out of it except on how to make a burger. When you finished it, you're not going to come back to it, like unless you want to just remember how to make that burger again.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's a throwaway movie. You watch it once and away you go. you know.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, one and done.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. This is a great conversation, Dennis. Really enjoyed this.
Oh, good.
It's definitely a fun movie. Definitely a fun movie to talk about. So, you know,
yeah,
pretty different to what we've sort of seen.
I still think, look, there's plenty of people I know who are kind of over Hollywood as it stands right now, and this is the movie I go, oh, go watch this movie. This movie is the state of Hollywood personified in a movie in the context of a restaurant, and it's funny. If you watch it in that context, now you're going to go watch it, go, ha ha, you're right. Yeah, but I'm never watching it again. Don't make me waste my time again.
Yeah.
But that's probably the only scenario where I'd put this movie forward to watch. You know?
Yeah.
In my circles. I think there's other movies out. If you're looking for a bit more of a thriller and a bit more of a hack and slash kind of scenario, there's better movies out there to watch for that. You're not going to get it from this movie, that's for sure.
No, this movie tries to do something a bit different. But thanks everyone for listening. Really appreciate it. Leave us a subscribe to our channel, like our channel, leave a comment. Let us know what you thought. Are we just crazy? Was this movie, you know, was this movie actually the best of all time and we just didn't see something?
Yeah.
You know, call us stupid if you want.
Would you eat one of my burgers?
Yeah.
In my pursuit for the perfect burger, come and see me in 10 years and you'll all die. It's like,
foreshadowing right here.
Right.
Thanks everyone. I'll speak to you next time.
Yeah, take care. Thanks for
time. Bye bye.